I got to do it again. He is risen. Oh, sounds so good. Oh, I am so excited, and I want to share with you this morning that the reason I'm so excited is because you're here. That's why I'm excited, because you're, oh, I got to hold myself, because you're here. What if I told you this morning that you're not here? I do not believe that you are here by accident. I don't believe that. In fact, I'd even take it a little stab further and track with me for a minute. I don't think it was necessarily even your choice to be here this morning. I really don't. I believe there's a reason you're here this morning. I know some of you are thinking, well, I'm here because it's Sunday. Duh. I mean, that's what you do, right? You go to church on Sunday. Some of you here are saying, well, it's Easter and I was here for the last service at Christmas. I want you to know something. Their service is every Sunday. It's a pretty cool thing. Maybe you thought you're here because, well, you just thought that's what you're supposed to do, right? You know, my family's here. Maybe your family drug you here. You know, maybe you're still trying to figure out, how did I get here this morning? Some of you are probably sitting in the pew or at the moment going, I really don't know why I'm here. But I think I do. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. But before we can even go there, we got to go to him. So let's pray. Father God, I do thank you so much for this morning. Father, I thank you that, Lord, that our God is not dead. That, Father, that you would send your son to die on that cross, to die on that cross for me, to die on that cross for us. And he's not there. He is alive. He is risen. He is risen indeed. And Father, I'm just asking you right now, this morning is your morning. It's not my morning. It's not our morning. It's your morning. And I'm just asking you right now, Lord, that you would just take it in a way that, Lord, none of us know. In a way that only you can. Father, I thank you so much. I thank you so much for everyone who's here. And Father, right now, I'm just asking, Lord, that you would speak this morning. Let's pray that in your name, your son's name, in the name of the Spirit. Amen. So I'm going to ask you a simple question. Are we switched over there? We are switched over, because I'm not showing anything. Yeah, technical difficulties. Maybe not. Okay, that's okay. I can go without my computer. Do we really don't have it up there? Okay. Wow. Okay, that's okay. I'm going to ask you a simple question. You know, this question has got a whole different meaning now. Do you believe in miracles? Now, you might want to check that. I don't know. I ask you, do you believe in miracles? And now that question was actually asked some 21 years ago in a little hockey game that happened between Team USA versus Team USSR. Now, for those who aren't aware, I'm a huge baseball fan, but a very close second is my love for hockey. And so, 1980, it's the Olympics, it's the gold medal round. And Team USA is there, and quite frankly, they're not supposed to be there. And just with seconds left on the clock, it's all looking like this is going to happen. Al Michaels asked the question, do you believe in miracles? And 3 seconds later, the answer is yes. And I want you to know that this morning, I do believe in miracles. And it goes well beyond hockey. I believe in miracles, and I believe that this morning you're going to see miracles. One of those miracles is probably going to be, I'm hoping, I've been praying, I've been working on this one, that you will see the shortest message I've ever delivered here. And for those who have been here, you know what I'm talking about. It's going to take a miracle. It's going to take God. But I do want to say that I do believe in miracles. And I think there's even greater miracles that are taking place. I think there's miracles that are going to be happening this morning that we can't even grasp. So if you haven't been with us for the past few months, let me catch you up. We've been going through a book called 1 Peter. This is a letter that Peter wrote to the church. And we'll talk about Peter a little bit also this morning. But in that book, what we've come to find out, hey, look at that. And what we've come to find out is just a couple of things. Number one, that you are precious in the sight of God so much that he has chosen you. When I say you're not here by accident, I'm saying because God has chosen you. He has called you to be here this morning. I believe that. I believe that with all my heart. Look at that. See? Miracle already happened. There, yeah. Okay, so now you have to see my slides. Okay, so we've been talking about Peter. We've been going through Peter. We learned that we're chosen. The other thing that we learned in Peter so far is that we have a purpose. Do you know that you have a purpose? Do you understand? If you don't, listen to me this morning. Because you have a purpose. And this whole thing, when we talk about Jesus and we talk about the cross and we talk about the resurrection, it's not plan B. God didn't just say, well, you know what? They're just not getting it. I'm going to just take over here. It's been part of this huge plan from the beginning. You're part of that plan. I want you to know that this morning. So last week, we took a little break from 1 Peter, and next week, we'll pick up with 1 Peter. But last week, we took a little break. We talked about Palm Sunday. This is, you know, Jesus entering into the city, and everybody was yelling, Hosanna, Hosanna. But just before that event, there was another event that took place, and that's with Lazarus. Maybe you know that story. I won't go into huge detail, but Lazarus is somebody that Jesus, well, called him out of the tomb. See, the way it went was this, is that Jesus got word that Lazarus was sick, and Lazarus was a good friend of Jesus. And it would have been really simple for Jesus simply to go to Lazarus while he was sick and heal him, but that wasn't God's plan. God had something much bigger in mind, but it would have been easy for Jesus to do that. But instead, what he did was he waited. In fact, when he showed up to Lazarus, Lazarus had already been dead for 4 days, in the tomb for 4 days. His sisters are there, and they're crying, and they say, if you had only come earlier. But Jesus said, no, there's a reason. And then he says, I want somebody to roll that stone away. And so man rolled that stone away. And Jesus leaned into that tomb, and he yelled, Lazarus, come forth. And when he did that, Lazarus came forth. Lazarus heard Jesus even in death, and he responded. He responded immediately. And he comes out, and as he comes out, he's in these robes, these garments, these burial cloths, shackles of death. And so the very next thing that Jesus says as Lazarus comes forth, he says, unbind that man. He's not dead. He's alive. This whole picture that Jesus is doing here is something so that people would understand what's about to take place. It's a picture of things to come. He did it so that they might believe, is what the scripture says. I believe that he did it so that not only would they might believe that they're there, but see, well, Jesus is going to the tomb himself. And he wants them to understand what he's been saying all along. I'm going to die. I'm going to be in that tomb 3 days. But I will rise again. And he wanted them to believe that. So when he went to that tomb, that it shouldn't be a time of mourning. It shouldn't be a time of loss. It should be a time of anticipation and knowing that, well, that he is risen. Thank you. He is risen. Yeah. Lazarus heard his name. Jesus didn't just say, come forth. He called him by name. I want you to remember that. Now, in order to get to Easter morning, what we need to do is we really need to start back at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Just want to take a brief moment and look at Jesus' early ministry. He's coming along to the Sea of Galilee. And at the Sea of Galilee, he's come to some guys, some fishermen, who eventually become his disciples. And this is what happens here. He says, while walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who's called Peter. This is the one that we were talking about. And Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Can I share something with you? And if you've been here long enough, you know this. I believe the two most exciting words in all of the Bible are follow me. When Jesus says, follow me, that is something special. And he says it to these guys, and it says right there, immediately they left their nets. Jesus takes a little bit, going down a little bit further. He says, going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately, they left the boat and their father, and they followed him. The thing that I want you to fixate on for a moment is how they did this. They did it immediately. They didn't take time to ponder it. They didn't really weigh all the pros and cons of what it might mean to leave their livelihood fishing behind. There were other men along the way that did the exact same thing. They left where they were, and they all did it the same way, immediately. Right here, right now, that's how it happened. They didn't necessarily know what they were getting into. They just followed. They didn't know what they were signing up for, and quite frankly, it wasn't all fun and games. But they knew what they needed to do. And they couldn't help but respond in any other way. But right here, right now, they followed immediately, dropped their nets. These other two, they left their dad in the boat. They followed immediately. Let me ask you, have you ever tried to give directions to somebody to someplace that's kind of out there? You know, and you're trying your best to make it as simple as you can. And you're like, okay, you're going to go down to the next street. You're going to take a right. Okay, and you're going to follow that for about mile and a half, because you're real specific, right? So mile, you're going to come to a fork, and you're going to take a right. But as soon as you take that right, you're going to take another left real quick. Then you're going to see the red barn. No, wait, it's the blue barn. No, just look for the dog. And then turn around that corner there. And you're halfway through your directions. You're trying to get them there. And you're thinking to yourself, it would be a whole lot easier if I just showed you the way. It'd be a whole lot easier if you just followed me. And here's the thing, the person who you're trying to give these directions to, they're thinking the same thing. You know, it'd be a whole lot easier if you just took me there. Just show me how to get there. Do you understand that's what Jesus is doing the whole entire time? He's just trying to say, you know, I've got an easier way for you. I've got a way, a direction for you. See, here's the thing, all throughout the scriptures, we see God is trying to show us the most excellent way to live, the most excellent way to go. In fact, it starts all the way back in the beginning in the garden. It says that man walked in the cool of the day with God, sharing with him everything that he's to do. And somewhere along the line, man just decided, you know what? I'm going to try it my own way. God gave one simple rule. Just don't leave that tree alone. How hard is it? Too hard. And they try it their own way. We fast forward a little bit and we get to a place called Egypt. And there's this moment in Egypt where, well, they're in bondage, they're in slavery. It's God's people, and he sends somebody, and they come to rescue them out of it. And he says, okay, here's the deal. You're going to go out of that place, out of this horrible place, and you're going to go to your land. You're going to go to the promised land. You're going to the place of milk and honey. It's all good. Just go this way. And they don't go that way. They try to make it on their own. And they end up wandering a desert for 40 years. Talk about somebody needed to stop and ask for directions. We go to the New Testament. A guy named Paul. And we'll talk about Paul here in a second. Paul wrote a letter to the church in Corinth. We call it 1 Corinthians. And he starts talking about, you know, you do all this stuff, but here's the deal. When it all comes down to it, faith and hope, these are great things. But the most excellent way is to do everything out of love. That's God's direction. Do it out of love. It's what he did for us. Jesus keeps it simple. He just says, just follow me. Just drop the net. Follow me. I want to make sure it's very clear, though, that just because you follow Jesus, it doesn't make your life perfect. It doesn't. Anybody who tries to tell you that, they're not following him. Life doesn't get better all of a sudden just because you're following Jesus. He doesn't ever promise you that you're going to become rich and famous. The fact is, you might actually lose a few things along the way. In fact, there was this young man who came to Jesus and said, you know, Rabbi, what do I need to do to have eternal life? And Jesus, it's real simple. Just follow the commandments. I mean, there's only 10 of them. Come on, you can do that, right? I'm doing that. Oh, excuse me, I didn't know you're so perfect. And Jesus says, okay, in that case then, try this one. Let go of everything. Just sell everything. Give it to the poor. Just follow me. That young man couldn't do it. He had too many things on his mind. He had too many things in his hands. And he walked away. It says he walked away sad. It's not the way it was intended. It may not be a perfect life. Everything that you have in your life may not all of a sudden be fixed at that moment. But he does promise us something in that time. He promises that he'll never leave you. He will never forsake you. And he'll show you the most excellent way. You just need to follow. Jesus is simply saying, you know what, guys? I know where I'm going. Just follow. It's that simple. So I mentioned Paul. Now, Paul, before he was Paul, he was Saul. There's a lot of guys in the Bible, if you're not familiar with it, that get their name changed. See, that's what happens when God gets a hold of you. He gives you a new identity. Sometimes he gives you a new name. It's a good thing you guys all have your name tags, okay? So that way we know who you are. There's a few of you that I thought your name was something else, and now I'm corrected. So, no, I'm just kidding. But Saul was one of those people that when I say that things don't necessarily get better, Saul was one of those guys that stood in the way of the early church. In fact, he was one of those things that made life not so good. See, Saul, and we meet him in the book of Acts, well, he was with a group of guys. He was a loyalist. He was both Jewish and he was Roman, and quite frankly, the Roman government and the Jewish people, they didn't like Jesus, and they really didn't like his followers. And so Saul's job was simply to go out, hunt them down, kill them. And so Saul goes out and he does that. He's an enemy of the cross. He's the worst of the worst. He made it hard to follow God. He made it so that people would think twice about even thinking about following Jesus. When Saul came to town, it wasn't a good thing. But see, God got to Saul. He got to Saul on a road on his direction to go take care of the Christians in the next town. He was confronted. He said, why are you persecuting me? What exactly have I done to offend you, Saul? And it's at that moment that Saul, it says that he became blind. For 3 days, he had to be completely dependent on God's people that were following Jesus. And they loved this man, despite the fact of who he was and what he had done, where he was going and what he was going to do. Saul then became Paul because, well, his life got turned over. And because of Paul, we actually have quite frankly, the majority of our New Testament. It's all written by him. One of those things that he wrote was, like I said, the letter in to Corinth, 1 Corinthians. And this comes out of 1 Corinthians, comes out of 1 Corinthians 15. This is Paul, formerly Saul, speaking here. For I deliver to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then all the apostles, and last of all, as to one untimely born. I love that line. To one untimely. He didn't get in the very beginning. He came in just a little bit later. He wishes he was there from the beginning. He appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Do you think you're unworthy of God? Paul thought he was, but yet, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, it really doesn't matter. So we preach, and so you believed. Paul lays it all out. He lays out what Easter is really all about. It's not Easter, it's Resurrection Sunday. It's resurrection power that's going on here, and he's talking about what it means. He spills out the gospel, simply put, the good news. He's letting us know what's going on. And the whole entire time, he's saying, you know why Jesus did it? He did it because he loves you. He did it to save you. He did it to extend his grace to you. Do you know what grace is? Grace is unmerited favor. It's something you didn't earn. It's something you can't earn. It takes somebody handing it to you. And Paul's saying, that's what he's doing. In fact, he did it to me. Remember me? I'm the guy who's killing these guys. And now I'm serving with these guys. If it can happen to Saul, if Saul can become Paul, then who else could? Quite frankly, anybody. It all comes back to this resurrection account. It comes about what we're here for this morning. What Easter is really all about. And if you were to turn into your Gospels, you would find in Gospels, by the way, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, these are the first four books in the New Testament, if you're not familiar enough. And so these are different accounts of Jesus' ministry. They're coming from four different perspectives. So you get Jesus in 3D, if you will. And you get to see all around his ministry. And so what's happening here, though, at the end of the Gospels, each of the four Gospels, you'll have this account there. And each Gospel comes from a slightly different angle. And the beautiful thing is that you take all four of these Gospels and they mesh together into a beautiful story. And so I want to give you the summary of that story. Now, first, it starts well before Easter. It starts with the time of Jesus being betrayed. This would have happened in our timeline Thursday. It's time for the Passover. This is a celebration of, well, God's people coming out of Egypt. And it's in this time that Jesus is with his disciples, and one of his disciples betrays him, a guy by the name of Judas. Judas betrays him, and then Jesus gets arrested. Then he goes to trial. And this trial is a kangaroo circus of a court. He's just going around and around and around. He goes here, he goes there. Somebody, please, condemn this man, but nobody could because there was nothing he was guilty of. Well, the reason they were even bringing him there was kind of you got to have your perspective. To their perspective, he was calling himself God, the God, the Son of God. Well, you can't do that unless, of course, you are. And he was. But the Jewish leaders didn't like that. They wanted this man condemned. They wanted this man dead. And so he's convicted. Punishment? Death. Death how? On the cross. Crucifixion. It was a Roman way of taking care of bad people. It was put you on display, if you will. Kind of, tells others, don't do this. Jesus is on the cross, and on Friday we celebrated that. We commemorated that with a Good Friday service. And if you were here, you'd know that this cross was here. And in front of that cross, there were seven candles. Seven candles representing the seven last things that Jesus spoke on that cross, all out of love. And all those candles. And as we went through those seven things, we extinguished each candle. And if you were here, you know that you left in silence. You left in quiet. You left in darkness. Because that's what Friday was. It's a day left in darkness. But see, it wasn't meant to last. See, there's a resurrection to come. Jesus said it. He said, I'm going to die, but 3 days later, I'm coming back. He gave instruction. He gave direction. You'll also notice that we have the cross there. We veiled the cross with a black cloth. You'll see there's a white cloth there. Why? Because that's victory. This is what God has done for us. There were seven candles here. There were two candles there. Those two candles that were there, that was the candle representing the Father, a candle representing the Spirit. You'll see there's one candle with three lights. That is God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The best part is Sunday morning. The most exciting part is Sunday morning. See, the thing is that when Jesus died and he was taken off that cross, they were on the cusp of the Sabbath, and they couldn't really do a whole lot of work, so they put him in a tomb. They put him in a tomb that was right nearby, an unused tomb, a brand new tomb. And so they simply wrapped him in the burial cloth and placed him in the tomb to come back later to take care of the body, because bodies stink when they're dead. Well, some do without being dead. Not you. So the ladies are coming. The ladies are coming that morning, Sunday morning. They're coming to the tomb because they brought spices and things to help prepare the body properly. And along the way, you can imagine the conversation. What are we going to do when we get there? There's a huge stone in the way. Who will roll the stone away for us? And it's even under guard. What are we going to do? And they get there and the tomb is open. It's wide open there. I think I have a picture. Yeah. And they're like, whoa, what's going on here? And they go in and Jesus isn't there. The tomb's empty. The cloth is there where he's supposed to be. But he's not there. Mary's there. She's distraught. She's distracted by this whole thing. And she starts crying. And suddenly somebody comes up behind her. I'll give you a hint. It's Jesus. And he comes up behind her and says, woman, why are you weeping? And she's just sobbing, and she's distracted by this whole thing. She's like, they've taken my Lord. I don't know where he is. If you could just, and it says in John that she thought she was talking to the gardener. The gardener? She's talking to Jesus. She doesn't know it. She's distracted. She's crying. And then all of a sudden Jesus just says, Mary. She immediately turns. She immediately recognizes the voice of her Lord, her Savior, her God. Why? Because he calls her by name. Just like he did Lazarus. Just like he's doing right now. He says, Mary, here, go tell the others. He's talking about the disciples. Go tell them that I've risen. And meet me in Galilee. He gives them instructions. Meet me in Galilee. These are instructions that he gave well before he even died. I'm going to die. I'm going to raise again. 3 days. Mark the calendar. See you in Galilee. Where are all these guys? They're hiding in an upper room trying to figure out what's next. And so the ladies, they go and they tell. And they go tell those guys, but they're given special instruction. Go tell the others. And go tell Peter. I love that part. And go to see. If you don't know the story, Peter, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, Peter, a disciple who loved Jesus so much, he denied him 3 times. How can that happen? But it did. Peter's disconnected. He's lost in a certain way. He's just not with the others the way the others are. He's in so much more despair. And Jesus gives them, go tell the others, and go tell Peter. And so they go and they tell. And it says then that the men, they raced to the tomb. I love it. They're racing to the tomb. And John, who's the disciple whom Jesus loved, and it says that John, he makes sure you understand, they're racing to the tomb, and he and Peter are in a foot race, and he wins. John loves to make sure you understand. He got there before Peter. But here's the cool thing. Peter goes right past John, goes right into that tomb. It's where he's supposed to be. The cloth is all right there. It's just as if Jesus just vanished. Sitting off to the side was the cloth that would have been over his head. It's where is he? And they're all trying to figure out where he is. Even John, he looks in. It just says John looked in and believed. It has to be. It has to be a resurrection. It has to be. But you know what's really interesting at this moment? The guys, after it's all said and done, they go back to the upper room. No, the instructions were simple. That you had directions. I'm not here. Go to Galilee. Just follow the directions. Jesus said, just go to Galilee. Don't race to the tomb because he's not there. Do you understand that this morning? He's not there. Why are you looking for the living amongst the dead? He is risen. Oh. He's not dead. He's not on the cross. Do not put Jesus back on the cross. I will tell you that when I see a crucifix, it is a beautiful picture of what Jesus did, but don't leave him there. He is not on the cross. He's not in the tomb. He is risen. The cross couldn't hold him. The grave couldn't hold him. Death cannot hold him. Why? Because he is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the life, not death. It as simple as I can. It took 3 nails, took 3 days to give us one way to God. And he did it all for you. Why? That you might believe. Most people know John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. It's right there. It's simple as it can get. You just believe. Just believe. Believe that God gave his son. But we got to keep going. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. To be saved through him. This morning, you might think you have it all together. You know, for what it's, you're doing okay. Maybe you're even saying, you know what, I don't think I've really messed up that bad. Maybe you haven't. But you do know, no matter how good it might be right now, you know it could be better. He wants to show you a better way. No, he wants to show you a most excellent way. And it begins just follow. In fact, early Christianity wasn't called Christianity at all. It was called the way. Because you were following the way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the way. It's a simple direction. He's going that way. You go that way. So what does it all mean? I can't get any simpler than this. You need Jesus. Let me say it one more time. Can you put your name in there? Okay. You need Jesus. Not just to show you where you're going to go when you die, because if you haven't picked up on it yet, this isn't about death. It's about life. Jesus didn't stay dead. He's alive. He's giving you, you are dead now. He's offering you life now, right here, right now. This is where it changes. Everything can change right here, right now. Share a story about my grandfather, my papa. Smartest man who ever walked the earth. And I don't say that facetiously. I mean it. The man taught me how to properly work a yo-yo. The man taught me what math was done and how it was done correctly. He never let me take shortcuts. He always made me follow the directions. He came to know Christ after I did. And I'll tell you right now that he was not some grand disciple. He was, well, quite frankly, as far as the scripture put, he was a good man. He's made mistakes. He knew he made mistakes. But he knew he was forgiven. Smartest man on the face of the planet that I will always believe. And shortly after he retired, my papa started forgetting things. At first, we didn't really know what was even going on. I mean, during that time, you didn't really talk about Alzheimer's. But that's what was taking place. Quite frankly, I believe in the end, he probably forgot more than most of us will ever know in our lifetime. And this wasn't him. He didn't forget things, but there he was forgetting things. In fact, my grandma, I remember one time having a conversation with her, and she was a little scared at one point because, well, they were coming back from the store, and he was driving, and suddenly she realized they were going in the wrong direction. He's like, "Where are you going?" His name was Jack. He said, "Jack, where are you going?" "Well, we're going home." Well, they're going to a house that they hadn't lived in for a long time. And then he kind of snapped out of it and realized what was happening and turned around. Well, see, shortly after that, I had a similar situation with him. During the time that I was going to school, college, you know, I was a poor college kid, and so I knew where lunch was. And I love spending time, and so I was over, and we were going to take a walk. Just he and I, we were going to take a walk. We're going to go walk around the court, around the loop. And as we start walking, he looks at me, and he called me MJ, and he goes, "MJ, I'm going home." I'm like, "Okay, we can turn around and go home. That's okay." And he goes, no, "I'm going home." And I'm like, going, "Oh, no, we're going to be walking for miles," because he thinks we're going to a different, I'm just totally like, I'm the one who's lost at the moment. I go, "Papa, we can turn around and go home right now. We don't have to keep going. We can go home." He goes, no, MJ, I'm going home. I'm going to heaven." See, he knew where he was going. He knew. Despite the fact that life was not fair, and I still proclaim that, it's not fair, and I don't understand why God would take this beautiful mind the way that he did. But I'll say this, that in the last days, he knew. It stayed with him. He knew, and he trusted. Can I say this morning that you know. You know right now. I asked you this morning, do you believe in miracles? Herb Brooks, he was the coach of this team. 1980 USA Olympic hockey team. A team that had gotten slaughtered by the Russians in preliminary games. A team that wasn't even expected to make it out of the first round. And suddenly they found themselves in the final game, facing their worst opponent. This is the speech that he gave to his players. You were born to be a hockey player. You were meant to be here. This moment is yours. I love that. You were meant to be here. And those guys went out, and within three periods, they had taken down their mighty opponent with seconds to spare. Do you believe in miracles? Al Michaels asked, and 3 seconds later, the buzzer rings. Yes. Can I say that this morning, you were meant to be here? I believe that. Right here, right now. You've been walking dead for too long. Like Lazarus in the tomb, Jesus is calling you right now. I believe that. He's calling you out of the tomb. He's calling you to be unbound by the shackles of death. He's calling you to come awake. Right here, right now. Like Peter and his brothers, he just says, follow me. And immediately they drop their nets. He's calling you right here, right now. He's saying, come awake. Right now I'm gonna pray, and I'm gonna ask you to pray with me. This is not normal. I don't normally do this, but I'm doing it this morning. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask you to pray the words that I pray. I want you to understand something real quick. There is no magic prayer. There is no special prayer. But I'm just going to lead you through a prayer this morning. And maybe for some of you, this will be the first time that you pray this prayer. I don't know. But I'm asking you, just if you would, just right now, just go ahead and bow your heads. And you can say this out loud. You can say it quietly to yourself. It's okay. Father, I know I'm not heading in the right direction. I know you have a better way for me to go. I know I'm a sinner. And I want to lay it all down. I know you sent your son to die for my sins. And I believe Jesus is who he says he is. I do believe he truly died on that cross, and 3 days later he rose from the tomb. That is nothing I did or can do to earn this. It's all by your grace, your love. And right now I give you my life that I might follow you. Amen. I'm going to ask you something here. If that was the first time you've prayed that prayer, I'm going to ask you to do something that it's going to be hard for some of you, and I know it. But I'm going to ask you, just like Jesus asked Lazarus, I'm going to ask you to come forth. I know it's uncomfortable, and I know that it's weird, but if you prayed that prayer for the first time, I want to invite you to come down here. I want you to do that. I don't want you to hesitate in that. Right now you're thinking, I don't know if that's what I you know, that's kind of embarrassing. That's kind of weird. And think about the disciples. They just let go of that net, and they just came up immediately. Maybe for some of you, it's not the first time you prayed that prayer. Maybe you've prayed that prayer sometime in the past. But right now there's something different. Maybe you've slipped away. You got on some different path somewhere. And you realize now, I want to follow. I want to be stronger. You want to go in the most excellent way. Can I say that what you've done here is you're recommitting yourself to him to follow. You're getting back on the right path. You know, we talk about sin. Sin is simply doing the opposite of what God had intended for you. It's rebellion against God because it's not God's way. And repentance is just a matter of turning away from the direction you're going and going in the opposite direction. So if you're going away from Jesus, repenting means what? You're going towards him now. And that's what it is right now. And right now, that's what's happening. And so I'm saying, even if you've prayed that prayer before, maybe you've prayed that prayer a dozen times, but this is the morning you're saying, I'm coming awake. I'm going to ask you just to come forward. I want to pray for you. It's hard. And I know, and I'm not going to give a whole lot of time here. I'm not going to pressure you into it, but I'm going to ask you that if that's you, I want you to know that you're not alone in this. And that we need to be praying. And if that's, I know it's hard. But I want you to know that God's calling you this morning. You're not here by accident. And I just want you to know that God loves you so much that he would send his son to the cross and die for your sins, for my sins, for everything that I've done, everything that I'm going to do that's all in rebellion against him. And I want you to know that's for you. I'm gonna pray, and if you want to come forward, you come forward. If you want to share this afterwards, you share this afterwards. But I don't want you to leave this place thinking, I need some time to think about this one. I need some time to ponder this one. He's calling you now, and you answer now immediately. Drop that net. I just want to pray, well, Father God, right now. I do ask you, Lord, that Father, that as you call us by name, that Father God, that we would respond. Lord, that we would answer. And Father, even those of us who, Lord, we've been following you for a long time, Lord, there's times when we just start going down a path that just isn't what was intended. And Father, I'm just asking right now, Lord, that you would guide us and you would direct us back to that path. You would guide us directly back to where it is that we're supposed to be. And Father, I pray for anybody who's made that decision, that Lord, that God, that you would show them the most excellent way. Lord, I just pray that in your son's name. Amen. I want to share a story with you. And if you want to come forward, you come forward. And while I'm sharing the story, and I know it's weird, it's awkward, but let me share this story with you. The story comes from Acts chapter 8. See, Acts is the book that shows us the early church. And in that early church, God is doing a mighty thing. And in that, there's this moment in Acts chapter 8, there's a guy named Philip, and God has called Philip to go. He's called them to go and preach the gospel. And while doing that, he's called to go talk to this guy. There's this Ethiopian. He's in a chariot. This Ethiopian, he's high in political and social standings. He's a very important man. And Philip comes along, and he sees that he's reading the Bible. He's reading Isaiah. He's reading the scriptures, and he says, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And the Ethiopian says, "No, how can I? Nobody showed me how." He's asking for direction. And so Philip says, "Let me share with you." And they share about who Isaiah is talking about. Isaiah is talking about the Messiah that is to come. And Philip's saying, "He has come." And so in this story, the Ethiopian comes to faith. And when he comes to faith in this chariot, he sees out the window, he sees a pool of water. And he says, "Okay, there's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized right here, right now?" And Philip says, "You're right." So they get out, and that man is baptized right there. No hesitation, no waiting. He's come awake. He wants to make his faith public in baptism. See, that's what baptism is, and we're about to go into baptism. And that's, baptism's not about salvation. It's a picture. It's a picture of us being dead in Christ and risen again. We're risen with him. We are heirs to that throne because of what God has done. And baptism shows us that. It's to demonstrate what God has done, not what man has done. And I want to say this morning, anyone, who would want to be baptized? The water's here. There's no better time. Now, there are some that have already come and talked to me, and they've said that they want to be baptized. And this is your cue. Ladies, if you just go into that room, and guys, you can go into that room, and you can get changed. You're thinking, you know what? That whole baptism thing, I like that, but I didn't come prepared. That's okay. We've got some extra clothes. We've got some extra towels. It's all good. And I want you to understand that this morning, right here, right now, you're here because of this. You're saying you're not prepared. Well, neither were the disciples at the boat. Neither was the Ethiopian, but they did it right there, right then. You can always put these things off. There's always tomorrow. But you know what? It's not what God's asking. God's not asking for tomorrow. He's asking for today. you can answer today, immediately, right here, right now. And while they're going there, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray as they're moving in. We're going to transition into baptism. And I'm telling you right now, you're thinking, is he talking to me? Yeah, I'm talking to you. No, I'm not. God is. I don't care where you've been. God only cares where you are. And I want you to know that the water's here. Why not now? I'm going to pray. And those of you who are up here that are going to be baptized, you can go to the rooms or you can take a seat let's pray. Father God, I thank you again so much. Father, thank you so much for that. You are, Lord, that you are a mighty God. You are a God that is worthy, and you are a God that saves. And Father, as we transition from this point to the baptism, as we transition to this point to the water, that Lord, we know and we trust and we love in this picture of your death, your resurrection, and the power it is in our lives. And so right now, I pray for those who will be baptized. I pray for those that are preparing even right now. Father, I pray for the little ones as they're coming in and I hear their bags. That Father God, that this would be a day, that this would be a day that people would see you through us. Father, I do thank you so much for this morning, Lord. And Father, right now I do ask that you would just put a special blessing upon this baptism. You would put a special blessing upon those here. And Father, I know, Lord, I know that there's some here that are thinking, and maybe they're holding on to their nets. And Father, I'm just asking that you would just share with them one more time. Follow me. Just follow me. Father, I thank you so much. And I give this all to you in your son's name and only his name. Amen. Well, we have quite a few people that are going to be baptized this morning. And the first one I'm going to bring on into the water is Ben. Ben Nelson. Ben, you want to go ahead and come on in? And it's warm, so it's good. Having Ben come down, and I don't know if you know Ben. If you don't know Ben, you need to know Ben. And Ben's been a huge encouragement to me, and he came to me and he shared with me that he wanted to be baptized, and we're doing it on Easter. Oh, that's great. And then I went to go look up some information. I found out a little something about Ben that he didn't let in on. Today's his birthday. Yeah. And, you know, at first I'm thinking, how exciting is it to be baptized on Easter as it is? But how more exciting is it to have Easter and your birthday all at the same time? And talk about new life. This is an incredible thing. So, Ben, can you tell me, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior?
Yes, I do.
and Ben, why are you sitting in this pool of water right now?
I want to show to the public that Jesus Christ is my Savior by his grace.
Yes, and I'm so excited in this. And is it okay if I share how old you are, Ben? Is that okay?
Huh? What's that?
Can I share how old you are?
Yeah. All right.
It doesn't matter. I hope when I'm Ben's age that I'm so happy to be. But 83 today. And I want to say that in a moment you're going to see some little ones get baptized as well. I want you to understand baptism is not something you just do when you're just little. You know, it's when you decide to follow Jesus. It's at your time. It's at the time that God has called you to. And this is Ben's time. And so, Ben, if you could you go ahead and turn this way? And, Ben, based on your profession of faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you want to plug your nose, you can do that too. But do you want to plug your nose?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So, based on your profession of faith in Jesus Christ, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I mentioned that we have some little ones, and so hopefully you'll be able to see them. The water is pretty deep. So, Michael, you want to come on up? Our next guy here, this is Michael Kidd, and coming behind him is his dad, Chris. And one of the beautiful things is that when you have a dad who's, stand up, okay. So they can see you. There you go. Can you see him? Can everybody see him? Step back. Step up here. You good? There you go. All right, now can you see him? All right. So here's one of the beautiful things that when you come to this tank, some people think, oh, it has to be somebody special that's got a back. Well, it is somebody special. It's somebody that you're trusting to push you under and pull you back. But no, what's beautiful is that when you have a dad who's chosen to follow after Jesus. In fact, one of the first baptisms I did here, Chris was standing right here with me. And so now we get to see Michael. So Michael, can you tell me real quick here, do you know Jesus is your Lord and Savior?
Yes,
you tell them. I know. You tell them. Okay.
Tell them. About what?
That you know Jesus.
Yes, I know Jesus.
You know Jesus. So he's swimming. So Michael, that's the beauty of being so small in this. All right. So Michael, can I ask you why do you want to be baptized?
To show everybody that I love God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit.
Okay. So Michael, why don't you go ahead and take a seat right here and face that way. Yeah, that way.
Yeah.
All right. We can baptize your face forward. That's okay. No. Okay.
Michael. Okay, that's funny. Based on your testimony, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Now, most people who will be baptized today can say, I was baptized, well, by my, you know, my father, by my pastor. This one gets to say she was baptized by her daddy. So, Gotcha, you want to come on up? This is my youngest. You know, if you were here the last time we had baptisms, it was actually my older three that were baptized then. You got your camera? No, it's waterproof. It's okay. No, that's going to make for good video right there. All right, so... All right, so you want to stand up here? So this is Katya. So Katya, do you know Jesus is your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Yes? And why are you here? Why do you want to be baptized?
To show everybody that I love God.
Okay. So are you ready? You sure? Okay. You want to go ahead and sit down? Okay. Okay. So are you, looks like our card's full there. Yeah, huh? Oh, that's okay. We got other cameras. You got this, Mickey? All right. So, Katya, based on your profession of faith in Jesus Christ, you ready?
Yeah.
I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay, now next we have Rachel McComber, right? Now, Rachel's dad was going to do this, but then he went and, you know, messed up his knee. So I'm not sure if he did that on purpose or not, but no. But let me go ahead and bring Rachel down. All right. So Rachel, do you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Yeah? So why do you want to be baptized today? It's okay. You gonna tell them? You're scared. It's okay. You can whisper it. How about you tell me? How about you tell me? Why do you want to be baptized?
Because Jesus is my Lord and I love him.
So Jesus is your Lord and you love him. That's a good reason. So, Rachel, you want to go ahead and come on over here? And then sit down. All right. Put your hand on your nose. Yeah. Put your hand up there. You're gonna plug your nose. Okay. So Rachel, based on your profession of faith in Jesus Christ, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And Rachel's not the only McComber going under today. So next we have Sarah. You want to stand up here? Yeah. Okay. So everybody can see you. Okay. All right. So Sarah, do you know that Jesus is your Lord and Savior?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so why do you want to be baptized today?
Because he said so.
Because he said so. Yeah, another good reason. All right. So Scott, you want to go ahead and sit down? Okay. All right. So you ready? You gonna plug your nose? It's not cold, is it? No? Okay. So Sarah, based on your profession of faith in Jesus Christ, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So next we have Sylvia Schaefer, and I don't know if you've gotten to know Sylvia, but again, I mean, you should get to know all of these people. And Sylvia was actually one of the first ones to come to me and say that they want to be baptized when we found out that we're doing baptisms on Easter. And so Sylvia, I'm not going to let you off the hook as much as I let them off. So you're a big kid. So Sylvia, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Did you want to share how that happened? That okay?
It's been several years, and this is something that I've wrestled with for several years, and it didn't get any easier, but the Holy Spirit just recently spoke to me and taught me that it's not about me, it's all about honoring and obeying the Lord, and for what Christ has done for me on the cross, so made the decision a lot easier.
And so why do you want to be baptized today?
In obedience to the Lord.
Okay. So I'm going to go ahead and come on over, okay, over here. And go ahead and take a seat. Go ahead, yeah. So Sylvia, based on your profession of faith in Jesus Christ, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay, so now we're coming from this side. So Tucker, you want to go ahead and come on? This is Tucker Stoles, and Tucker came to me just recently to let me know that he wanted to be baptized, and I'm excited about that. So Tucker, you're a little bigger, so you get to talk a little bit more, right? So Tucker, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Did you want to share a little bit how that happened? Can you do that?
It happened when I was 11.
And you're how old now?
I'm 14 now.
You hear that voice? Can you guys hear that voice? Wow.
And I one day went to church and I asked God to be my Lord. So.
All right. And so why do you want to be baptized?
To show publicly that I'm willing to serve the Lord.
All right. You want to go ahead and turn around? Yeah, you can clap. Yeah, yeah, where is he? Chad, do you want to come up? All right. Very cool. So this is Chad. This is Tucker's dad. And say hi, Chad.
Hi.
All right. So Chad, do you want?
Based on your profession and faith in Jesus Christ, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Tucker heads that way. I'm going to have Guy Barth go ahead and come on forward. Now, some of you, you'll recognize this guy. Guy is actually one of our shepherds here, and that way. Yeah. I'm going this way. Yeah. So, Guy, can you tell me? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes, I do.
Okay, you got to tell them too.
Oh, yes, I do.
and so, Guy, why are you here? Why do you want to be baptized?
Long story.
That's okay.
Long story. I was baptized 31 years ago, but I was baptized because that's what Christians do when they come to know the Lord. And I realized over my last 31 years that my love for God has grown to new heights, and I want to make that commitment today. And I'm excited about rising in new life again today. So I got a shirt on. Read it.
I can't read it. What's that say? Huh? What does it say? It says new fire?
New fire, yes. New fire.
All right. That handwriting's worse than mine. So, Guy, based on your profession of faith in Jesus Christ, are you going to plug your nose?
No.
No? You're old. No. Brave man. All right. I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So Nicole's going to come now. Now, Nicole's one of our junior hires, and Nicole also pretty early on let me know that she wanted to be baptized. So, Nicole, do you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior?
Yeah.
Yeah? Do you want to share how that happened?
It actually happened a long time ago when I was a lot littler, but my mom helped me, and I decided to pray to God and ask Him to be my Lord and Savior. And I finally decided that I wanted to be baptized.
And why do you want to be baptized?
Because He is my Savior, and He died for me on the cross.
Okay. So, Nicole, you can go ahead and plug your nose in. Based upon your profession of faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we're going to have Mickey come on up. So Mickey's one of our high school students. And you ready? She's a little nervous. So Mickey, do you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior?
Yeah.
Do you want to share a little bit about how that happened? I know some of you, if you were here back in January, you've heard a little bit of this story. So let's hear it again. That's always good to hear it.
I accepted Him when I was 3, and then reaffirmed that in December.
Okay. All right. So why do you want to be baptized today?
To show my love for Jesus and what He did for me.
All right. So go ahead and plug your nose there. You ready? So Mickey, based upon your profession of faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So Amy's going to come on up. So Amy, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yep.
Yeah. Did you want to share any more than that? No? Okay. You do know people are going to ask you, though, afterwards, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Amy, why do you want to be baptized today?
Just so that I love God.
Okay, so you ready?
Yeah.
You gonna plug your nose? All right. Amy, based upon your profession of faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay, and so we have some others that have just recently decided to be baptized. And so let's start here. We're going to kind of go back and forth, is that okay? Okay, so is your watch waterproof?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So let's go ahead and face them for a moment, okay? So here's what I'm going to ask you to do, okay? For the sake of everybody here, let them know who you are.
Dakota David Cook.
Okay, Dakota. And Dakota, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Yes. And why do you want to be baptized today?
Because I believe Lord is my Savior.
All right. Let's go ahead. So you ready? Plug your nose. So Dakota, based upon your profession of faith in Jesus Christ, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So next up is Brittany. And Brittany, how are you connected to the guy who is just in here?
My brother.
He's your brother. So we've got brother-sister combo. And two for the price of one, right? Actually, it's going to be three. But so Brittany, would you go ahead and share? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yeah.
Yeah. She was totally nervous. She's like, do I have to talk? And I'm like, we can get through this. So Brittany, why do you want to be baptized today?
Because I believe he wants me to.
Okay. So he wants you to be. So let's go ahead. Let's get you baptized and get you out of here so you're not so nervous, okay? You ready? The whole water is shaking right now, just so I know. It's not cold, is it? Okay. You want to put a little bit? You want to put your nose there? Right. So, Brittany, based upon your profession of faith in Jesus Christ, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, as you've seen, we've had some dads who have baptized their kids, and well, these two weren't baptized by their dad because, well, he's up next, and so. You want to go ahead and let them know who you are?
I'm Scott Cook.
Okay, so Scott, do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
I do.
You do. And why do you want to be baptized today?
Because I want to start a new slate with Jesus Christ as my Savior.
All right. You want to take a seat? You ready? So Scott, based upon your profession of faith in Jesus Christ, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I think we got one more, right? Ready? You ready?
Yeah.
Okay, Monica, let them know who you are.
I'm Mackie Watts.
Okay, and why do you want to be, or actually, do you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Yeah, we talked about that this morning, right? Okay, and so why do you want to be baptized?
Because I love the Lord and I want to follow him.
You want to come on over here? Okay. You want to plug your nose? You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. You sure? Okay. So based upon your profession of faith in Jesus Christ, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay. Huh? Okay. I'm being told we have one more. We're going to be patient. Hey, look at that. It's not even 12 o'clock yet. Wow. Do you believe in miracles? You want to let them know who you are?
My name is Winnie.
Hey, Winnie, do you... Huh?
Sorry.
Yeah, that's good. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes, I do.
And Winnie, when did that happen?
It was December 28th at a retreat.
Okay, so when are you celebration, right? That was a good time, right?
It was a good time.
Good time. All right. And Winnie, why do you want to be baptized today?
Just because I have so much love for him, I just want to show him, I guess.
Okay, that's good. That's good. And Winnie, you're just going to plug your nose there, okay? And so when I, that's okay. When I say spirit, that's when you hold your breath, okay? So when you based upon your profession of faith in Jesus Christ, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Here, I told them all to bring a change of clothes, and I didn't. I want to share with you real quick. We're not done, okay? Because we're going to have communion, and I'm going to transition back into that. In fact, I'm going to have the worship team or whoever's going to handle the music, right? You're going to do that? Yeah? Okay. Go ahead and come on up as I come down. And but we're gonna be going into communion here. So let me get around. But I do want to share with you that after the service concludes, I know a lot of you have a ham in the oven, and that's cool. But I want to invite you to go into the fellowship hall. And right afterwards, because that's where all those who've been baptized, that's where they're going to be. Love for you to go in, shake their hand, let them know you're going to be praying for them. There's even cookies back there. But let me come back around now. So I felt that the most appropriate way really to conclude our service is, I mean, we're here because Jesus died for us. That his body was broken, his blood was shed. Why? To cover our sins, to rescue us from death. And to bring us into life. And that's what this morning is about. It's about what God has done. He's done for you. And I want you to understand that. I haven't made that clear. I'm not sure how much clearer I can make it. That he loves you so much. And so we're going to come to this communion table. And I want to explain it real quick here. Because perhaps some of you, you're not familiar with what's about to happen here. First off, the communion table is very simple. There's bread and there's juice. And the bread represents Christ's body. And he said at this last meal that he had with his disciples, he took out a piece of bread. In fact, actually, if I was to come over here and grab one of these, he took a piece of unleavened bread like this. And he looked at his disciples and says, "This is my body, and it's broken. And it's broken for you." And then he passed that. He said, "Eat this. Eat this in remembrance of this." And then the next thing was the cup, and he passed the cup around, and those would take the cup. He said, "This is my blood." He said, "It's a new covenant. See, it's not about what you've done. It's about what I'm going to do. It's not how good you can be, but it's because I am good." And so he gives us himself as that sacrifice for sin. And so that's what these elements are for. And I would tell you this morning that communion is designed, it's intended, well, for the believer. It's intended for the one who has put their faith in Christ, because then these things have symbols. They symbolize what Jesus did. And so I would ask you this morning, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it's okay just to let this pass by you. But if this morning be the morning that you would say, yes, Lord, I want to follow, what better place to start? And so I'm going to pray for this, and man, if you'll go ahead and come forward, we've got a lot of trays to get out there, and so I'll pray for this, and we'll go, okay? Father God, I thank you so much again for what you've done. Father, I thank you so much for those who have come forward in baptism, Lord, those who have come forward to say, "My life is yours." And so, Father, I do pray this morning for them. I pray, Lord, that you would strengthen them, that you would bring about people around them to encourage them to follow this path that you have them on, Lord, to follow you. And that, Lord, right now, as we come to this time of communion, Lord, as we take this bread, Father, that we would stop and we would think, Lord, what it is that you have done for us. So, Father, I do ask that you would bless this bread and you would bless this cup. And I just pray that in your Son's name. Amen.